Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something absolutely critical, really a survival mechanism for modern business.
It really is.
We're doing a deep dive into a pretty dark side of IT security for small and medium-sized businesses, the SMBs who, overwhelmingly rely on a simple idea backup.
Just having a backup.
Exactly. But the moment of truth, it's not about making the backup. It's about being able to actually recover, a functional recovery.
And our sources show there's a huge alarming gap between those two things.
We have to start with this one statistic because it's just jaw-dropping. Yeah. A staggering 60% of SMBs never conduct a disaster recovery test before facing a real crisis.
Never. So their entire plan, that promise of continuity, it's just paper. It exists in theory only.
Untested, unverified.
It's the ultimate false confidence. It's like you buy the seatbelt, but you never check if the buckle actually works until you're in the middle of a crash.
Right.
So our mission today is really to unpack that hidden gap. The key question, then, you listening to this need to ask for your own organization isn't just, are we backing up? The real question is, can we restore everything? Every system, every little configuration file, and critically, how fast can we do it when everything goes dark?
That's the one. We've pulled together a lot of comprehensive analysis here. Studies that detail real-world recovery failures, updated industry standards.
And the tech, right. The solutions that actually separate a successful recovery from, well, a total collapse.
Exactly. We'll look at the five most common failure patterns, the real quantifiable cost of downtime, and what a modern, robust recovery strategy actually looks like.
Let's do it.
So let's start with that typical SMB mindset, because it is, understandable. It feels rational in the short term.
It does. They invest in a solution. The software gives them a little green check mark every night.
And they assume the box is checked. They move on. They feel secure because, hey, we have data redundancy.
And that security is completely misplaced.
Yeah.
Let's just run through the scenario that analysts see over and over again. A sophisticated ransomware attack encrypts their primary systems. It's 2 in the morning. The IT team rushes in, sees the damage, and they confidently say, no problem.
We have backups.
We have backups running hourly. But the problem isn't the backup frequency. Mm. It's the recovery itself.
Right.
Our research details where this reality check hits the hardest. So the team tries the restore, only to find out the backup files are corrupted.
Why, though? How does that happen?
Because the malware had already been sitting dormant in their network for weeks, slowly corrupting the backups as they were being made. Or they realized the backup process missed critical registry keys the application needs to even function.
So the data's there, but it's useless.
It's inert. And the worst, the most modern outcome, is the attacker was smart enough to compromise the backup system itself. They encrypted the backups right alongside the primary data.
And that turns a very bad day into, well, an existential crisis for the business. I was really fascinated reading the sources about the reasons SMBs give for skipping these tests. They're understandable, but it's like a form of dangerous self-sabotage.
It is. They see it as a pure cost and time equation.
They've got limited IT resources, tight budgets.
And this perception that testing means you have to intentionally disrupt your own operations, which for a small team, is a huge burden. They just assume their managed service provider or their IT team has a guaranteed smooth process ready to go.
But isn't that just assuming the technology is magic? You mentioned that perception issue that testing means taking systems completely offline.
Mm-hmm.
If modern tech allows for isolated, non-disruptive testing, why are 60% of businesses still avoiding it?
Because they haven't calculated the risk accurately. I mean, they're budgeting for the cost of the backup solution, the software, the storage, but they're completely ignoring the potentially fatal cost of a recovery failure.
The cost of the disaster itself.
Right. They haven't realized that the complexity they're trying to avoid by skipping a test is nothing compared to the manual chaos of trying to recover data from scratch in a crisis.
So let's hit the listener with that quantified damage. When that false confidence evaporates and the untested plan fails, what's the actual hard financial and operational damage?
The consequences go way beyond a few days of lost revenue.
Yeah.
I mean, and they are often fatal for the business. The figures are stark.
Yeah.
Studies show 40% of businesses never reopen after a major data loss event. 40%.
Wow.
And then look at the long-term impact. 90% of companies that lose data for more than 10 days, just 10 days, end up filing for bankruptcy within a year.
That one statistic, that fundamentally changes how we have to view this topic. This isn't just IT housekeeping.
No.
This is a core business survival function.
Precisely. And it's not just about the downtime dollars either. Mm. You face a catastrophic loss of customer confidence, especially if their personal or financial data was exposed.
And the regulatory penalties.
Oh, huge. If you're operating under regulations like APA in healthcare or PCI DSS in finance, failure means severe penalties. And often those long recovery times aren't just downtime, they're weeks of highly paid employees manually recreating lost data, which just drains months of operational productivity.
That's the real drain. Okay, so let's identify the traps that testing is designed to expose. Analysts consistently point to 5 core predictable failure patterns that businesses just keep repeating.
Yeah,
number one is the foundational failure. Backup files won't restore. This is the classic scenario. The files look perfectly healthy in storage, but they just refuse to restore properly.
And that corruption can happen during the transfer or just from storage decay over a long time, or a really common one.
Yeah.
You're trying to restore to a system that has a different software version than the one that created the backup.
The second pattern is the incomplete data set.
Mm-hmm.
People focus on backing up the crown jewels, right? The customer database, the accounting ledger,
mm-hmm.
but they overlook the essential things around it. Custom components, application config files, the network settings that make that data usable.
So you restore the database, but without that surrounding ecosystem, the data is just inert. It's useless.
Then there's the big one. The recovery time reality check, or RTRC. Every backup vendor gives you this beautiful theoretical recovery window, let's say 4 hours.
Like the sales pitch.
But during a real crisis, the clock starts ticking and that 4-hour plan suddenly stretches into 2 days. What are we missing? Why is there such a huge delay?
We forget the physical limitations of the real world. We miss network bottlenecks when you're trying to pull huge data sets down from the cloud. We forget about hardware limitations. The temporary server might be half the speed of the original.
You never think of that.
You don't.
Mm-hmm.
And you underestimate all the verification steps you have to do to ensure integrity before you can push the system back into production. You only discover that difference between theory and reality during a test.
The fourth pattern, and this one absolutely crushes organizations, is documentation disasters.
Ah, yes. The dusty binder on the shelf.
The recovery runbook is totally outdated. It was written when the company was half its size. The systems have evolved, the passwords are wrong, or, and this is the most common,
the one person who knew how it all worked has left the company.
Exactly. The key architect is gone.
A documentation failure turns a straightforward technical task into a high-pressure archaeological dig. And finally, number 5. The growing challenge of cloud backup complications.
Right, because the cloud is supposed to be the solution.
It offers amazing redundancy, but a lot of SMBs fail to account for the logistics of a restore. Bandwidth limitations mean pulling a 10 terabyte file down can take days. And if the original disaster took out your ISP connection?
That cloud recovery is totally inaccessible.
You're cut off from it.
Mm.
You have to plan for alternate ways to access your backups.
So if these paper plans are failing so predictably, what are the actual actionable stages to move disaster recovery testing out of theory and into, you know, a validated reality?
The key is that it requires a strategy, not a massive capital investment. The focus has to be on graduated, realistic testing.
Okay, so we can break the testing strategy down into 3 achievable stages. Stage 1, tabletop exercises.
The cheapest, easiest place to start.
Lowest cost, lowest risk. You get the key people in a room, IT, finance, leadership, and you walk through the recovery procedures step by step without touching a single production system.
You're just talking it through, asking those what-if questions, clarifying roles, and you'll find gaps in the documentation immediately.
Once that documentation holds up, you move to stage 2, partial restoration tests.
Right. The goal here is to check system integrity and functionality. You restore a single server, or maybe one key database, but you do it in an isolated sandbox test environment.
So it never risks the live production environment.
Never. It builds confidence and it exposes technical flaws safely.
And finally, stage 3, full disaster recovery drills.
This is the big one. It has to be scheduled, ideally at least once a year or quarterly for highly regulated businesses like financial institutions.
And here you simulate a complete system failure. You actually take the systems down.
Even the non-critical ones, yes. And you validate your ability to restore full operations within those critical timeframes that we need to talk about.
And this is where modern tech makes all the difference, right? Moving recovery times from days to hours.
Absolutely. We are far beyond simple nightly file copies now. One of the biggest advances is image-based backup.
Okay, let's slow down on that term because it's crucial for our listener to grasp the speed difference here. What exactly is an image-based backup?
In the old method, if your server failed, you had to first install the bare metal hardware, install the operating system, patch it, install the applications, and then finally restore your data files.
Which is a multi-hour manual process.
It's a huge manual process. Image-based backup captures the entire system, the OS, the apps, the configuration, network settings, and the data, all in one single bootable package. You eliminate that entire manual rebuilding process.
That makes perfect sense. So you're not restoring pieces, you're restoring a complete functional snapshot of the whole machine.
Exactly. And that speed gain is then leveraged by instant recovery capabilities. This is the immediate payoff. Advanced solutions let those backed up virtual machines run directly from the backup storage appliance itself.
Wow. So your critical systems are functional in minutes.
In minutes, while the slower permanent restoration to new hardware happens invisibly in the background.
And we can't talk about modern disaster recovery without talking about the threat landscape. Ransomware is now the number one cause of DR initiation.
Without a doubt.
This means simple data copies are not enough. You need specific, layered protections.
You need immutable backup copies. These are backups configured so they cannot be modified, encrypted, or deleted by an attacker, or even by your own system admins, for a set period of time.
It guarantees that clean copy remains untouched.
Even if the ransomware gets your admin credentials.
And what if the attack is highly sophisticated? If it's persistent.
Then you need air-gapped backups. These are backups stored completely offline, physically or logically isolated from your network.
For a smaller business, this could just be rotating an external hard drive to an off-site secure location once a week.
Yes. It takes human effort, but it creates a definitive break that no digital attacker can cross.
Okay, so now that we know how to test and what tech to use, we need to define what success even looks like.
Yes.
And this comes down to two critical metrics that have to be defined by the business first, and only then validated by IT.
The first is the recovery point objective, or RPO. This is the maximum amount of data loss your business can tolerate, measured in time.
So if you process 100 payments an hour and you set an RPO of 24 hours...
You are financially accepting the loss of 2,400 transactions. It's a business decision that dictates how often your backups must run.
And the second is the recovery time objective, or RTO. This is the maximum acceptable downtime.
How long can you be offline?
Exactly. Yeah. If your RTO is 2 hours, your recovery process has to consistently restore critical systems within that 2-hour window. And testing is the only way to verify that.
Technology gets you halfway there, but the human element is what makes DR work under pressure. Ambiguity during an emergency leads to decision paralysis.
So you have to define clear roles and responsibilities before the disaster hits.
Absolutely. Who declares the disaster? Who's the executive decision maker? Who coordinates communications? And who is actually doing the technical steps?
And crucially, that documentation, the runbook, it has to be idiot-proof.
It does. You have to write it, assuming the person executing it is not your most experienced technician, because that person might be on vacation.
Or worse, their own systems might have failed.
A truly effective runbook has screenshots, explicit pass-fail checkpoints, and you must cross-train multiple people on the recovery procedures to get rid of that single point of failure.
That single point of knowledge failure is a massive organizational vulnerability.
It is.
We should also quickly mention industry-specific recovery considerations. Compliance doesn't just pause during an outage.
Not at all. For healthcare, restored systems must maintain IPA access controls and audit trails. For financial services, transaction integrity is non-negotiable, and meeting that RTO might be a regulatory requirement, not just an operational goal.
So your plan has to be holistic.
It has to be. It needs to include communication systems, alternate work arrangements, ensure you can still run payroll. It's a whole business plan.
It's a complete living strategy. But even companies that commit to testing can make crucial mistakes. What are the common testing pitfalls we need to avoid?
First, testing only the newest, most reliable systems and ignoring the difficult legacy applications.
Right, because often the oldest, most brittle systems hold the most crucial business functions.
And they're the hardest to recover. Second, conducting tests only during ideal hours with ideal staffing. Real emergencies happen late at night, on a weekend or a holiday when staffing is minimal.
And I think the most fatal mistake, stopping the test when a problem comes up.
Yes. The entire point of the drill is to find what doesn't work. When you hit a roadblock, you have to work through it, document it, and treat it as the most valuable learning opportunity you will ever get.
And finally, failing to immediately update your recovery plans based on what you just learned.
Which just gives you false confidence in a plan that hasn't actually improved.
So, wrapping up our deep dive here, the core takeaway for you is this. Disaster recovery is a complete, ongoing business validation strategy. It's not just a technical checkbox you bought a few years ago.
It's about continuously validating your procedures against realistic RPOs, how much data you can afford to lose, and RTOs, how fast the business must be operational again.
And never forget the psychological benefit.
Oh, that's huge. Testing is essential practice for uncertainty. Regular drills build familiarity with that high-stress process, which prevents decision paralysis when the real crisis hits. That practice is invaluable.
So, if your backup systems are reporting 100% success, but you haven't recently performed a full restoration of your most critical systems in a simulated crisis, how certain are you that you haven't built a false confidence that will just evaporate the moment you truly need it? That's something every SMB leader needs to mull over tonight. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.